Hi there, this is Pastor Lamo. We're reading through the Bible, and today we have part three of a piece of literature that the Lord gave me. It's entitled Another Pearl Harbor, part three. And we have a couple of letters before we do that. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint outwardly this part three of Another Pearl Harbor and these letters, and for Him to anoint me with any commentary that He will, that He will speak right through my mouth, that the church will be edified, and that souls will be saved, and that the entire world will be enlightened to the things that are being done in a dark corner. Father, we thank You, praise Your holy name. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for the salvation and healing and all the other provisions that You provided for us. Salvation, healing, defense, the way that You are showing people that You're God. Lord, we ask that You anoint this service outwardly so that people can grow spiritually inwardly. Open up everyone's spiritual eyes that they may see that this is the truth, and open up their spiritual ears so they can receive it into their life, their very soul. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, where's the first letter from?
From St. Anne's-on-the-Sea, Lancashire, England, the United Kingdom.
All right, praise the Lord. Let's hear what they have to say.
Heard your broadcast Friday, October 14th, 2005.
You see that our broadcast is all over the world, and we just recently went on radio in Africa. The people say that the coverage of where they can hear these broadcasts is to 1.5 billion people alone just on one station. So right now we're hitting the entire world with the Word of God. And, you know, it really sickens me when I just happen to turn on, usually I don't do this, but I turned on the television the other day to watch a broadcast, and it was, they were talking about marriage. And they were saying that this woman, he said he just wasn't a very good husband. He didn't communicate enough with his wife. And so she thought it apropos to commit adultery on her husband. And he was supposed to, his pastor said that he should be very compassionate towards her, because he did something wrong. He didn't talk to her enough, or he didn't, communicate with her enough, and so therefore that makes it okay to commit adultery. But I want to communicate to you that this is why the Bible talks about there's going to be a great falling away in the last days. It just looks like there's a great big move of God with these people that call themselves Christians, but they have a different gospel than the one that I read in the Bible. The Bible, Jesus said, the Word of God, which is Jesus, and Jesus Himself said when He was in His human body on this earth that you're not to have any mercy on those kind of people. You're to divorce them if they do that. And she said, well, her husband said, why did you do that? And he said, she said, well, this man just kept talking to me and talking to me and communicating to me, and that's what you are not doing. And she says that so finally he just got under my skin, and I did this terrible thing, but will you forgive me? Well, this is a cardinal sin, and it's the only one that the Lord said is that you can divorce your wife. I guess it used to be in the Old Testament, because of the hardness of people's hearts, that they could divorce their wife if they burnt the toast or something. Just any excuse that you wanted to, but the New Testament says the only way that you can is if your wife commits adultery. And so, first of all, the woman shouldn't have been communicating with another man, all right? That's number one. And she shouldn't be listening to another man, because when she kept doing that, she was opening the door. Now, if one of the other people said, well, if there's something wrong with your wife or there's something wrong with your husband, they were talking about the grass being greener on the other side of the fence. That you always think that somebody's man, this some other man, is better than the one that the Lord gave you. He says, like, if the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, this other minister was saying, well, then what you should do is water the grass on your side of the fence. Amen?
Amen.
I thought that was pretty good. If there's something wrong with your husband, then you should, there might be something wrong with you, and you should water that dry grass, because it's your fault. And it really doesn't make any difference. If you married him, you're stuck with the dude until the day you die, and so you should really make sure that who you're marrying is a person of the Lord anyway. If it's really a man of the Lord, he is watering his wife. He's making sure that she hears the gospel. He's providing for her, and he physically, that is, if she is due being given a physical benevolence. It says only if it is due that she is to get benevolence. But if she has lied to you, or if she's flirting with other men, or if she is doing something that she's not communicating with you, or she's vicious with other people or yourself, or if she's morbid and deliberately morbid with you and with others, she's not morbid. She doesn't do any benevolence at all. She's not doing the job of a wife. And then if she turns around and tries to blame you for not communicating enough, when she is someone that you don't want you want to teach her a lesson and put her in ward, as the psalmist David did and other people in the Bible did. But they always kept their wives at home, and no one was allowed to come in and communicate with them, because the woman is the weaker vessel. Now, I'm sure I'll get a lot of flack because I'm telling you what the Bible says, but a lot of people don't care at all what the Bible says, and that's why there's so much divorce, so much adultery, so much fornication, so much narcotics and drugs and every other thing on the face of this earth that are causing people to be part of the great falling away. Now, in the second chapter of Thessalonians, chapter 2, it talks about in the last days, just before Jesus comes back to earth again, that there'd be a great falling away. Well, people are going to church, according to a lot of people, more than they ever have in many years. But the doctrine is not the Lord's doctrine. It is the doctrine of Satan. And they're espousing these things, which causes people to just be turned off by the gospel. I know that before I was saved, I had enough common sense to know that the things that the people were doing in churches were wrong, false, evil, nauseating. And I knew the things that these supposed to be preachers of the gospel were preaching were so nauseating that if I thought to myself, because I didn't realize how horrible hell was, I thought, if these people are going to be in heaven, I want to be in hell. Because I figured I'd be down there with my buddies, and we'd be playing pool, and that there'd be vending machines with cans of beer in it, and soda pop, and candy bars, and, you know, these pre-packed sandwiches and things like that, and that you could just, you know, be with the boys, and cigars and cigarettes and stuff, because I used to be involved with all those different products. And I thought, man, I don't want to be with these supposed to be goody two-shoes that say it's all right for your wife to go and commit adultery. I think this is one of the reasons why a lot of men don't want to be married. And then they say that, you know, we just have to be merciful if our wife does that. Well, that I can't forgive sin. The Bible says that only God can forgive sin. And why would I want to, you know, even if I could forgive sin, I might forgive her, but I certainly wouldn't crawl in the sack with her again. All right? I'd never go to bed with her again. No, she committed adultery. And some crazy women today can't understand that. Well, because they're so ungodly, they have no understanding of the way, or they don't care how a man feels that wants to be a husband, that wants to raise children. How would you know if you were the father of a child if the woman got pregnant? You would never know. Then you'd be stuck with raising a child that isn't your own. And, you know, if I have a field and I want to raise cotton, I want to make sure that that's all that's raised out there. But if I see strawberries out there, I'm going to know that something has gone awry. All right? And so, you know, this the woman is supposed to be the land, and the word husbandman means the one that is the farmer. He's going to be a baby farmer when he gets married to a wife, and she's going to stay home, the Bible says, and take care of the kids in the house and make sure things are just nice and proper for her husband. But these marriage counselors, this was what that was that I saw on television yesterday, was supposed to be a marriage counselor. I was so angry, I just turned it off after I listened to make sure that that's what they were saying, and that's what they were saying, all right. Yes, that's what they were saying. And I've heard this down through the years. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says that there'd be a great falling away, that Satan would actually move into the temple of God. Well, these crazy supposed to be Christians misinterpret that scripture, and they keep saying, and I've heard this ever since I've been saved, this is going on 41 years, that there's going to be a temple of God built in Israel. But you are the temple of God. You supposed to be Christians, and you Christians. And the Bible says that Satan would enter into you, false doctrine. And if you abide with this false doctrine, and you just receive it, well, then Satan has entered into you, and you're saying that he, in other words, the false doctrine, is God. And because of the fact that you do not really love the truth of the Word of God, you believe that you can commit adultery, you believe that you don't have to be benevolent to your husband, and you don't believe that he doesn't have to give you benevolence if you're not benevolent, well, because you have not the love of the truth of the Word of God in you, then God, he says in the same chapter, that he'll send you strong delusion and make you believe a lie. Make you believe. He's going to force you to. And believe me, when God forces you to do something, you're going to think you're okay. That you're okay. And he says he wants you to believe that you're okay because you hate his real word. He wants you to believe that so that your soul will be damned. Now, you know, and these people all preached love, love, love. But read the book of Revelation and read throughout the entire Bible the wrath of God from the time that he drowned the whole world because of this sort of doctrine. And he poured out his wrath on Sodom and Gomorrah, where they were wife-swapping and wives were just fellowshipping with other men, and men were having sexual relationships with other men's wives, and that they were committing homosexual acts and lesbianism, and they were just doing all kinds of sin. It was like a resort, Sodom was. It was a very beautiful place, like the city of palms, palm trees, like Palm Springs, California. Very luxurious types situation, especially Rancho Mirage, which is just on the outskirts of Palm Springs. Palm Springs is sort of a secondary place now. Rancho Mirage is where Frank Sinatra had his home, Bob Hope. I had his home up on the hill, 40 some odd thousand square feet up there. I was there when there was a little fire in the place. But there's Annenberg, the man that owns TV Guide. He has a huge place, and usually it's a customary thing around New Year's and Christmas time that presidents fly and stay in Annenberg's resort. It's a very posh, beautiful, luxurious place. Well, this is the way that Sodom was. People so wealthy that they believed that their wealth can make them to be immune from the commandments of the Lord, and that nothing can harm them whatsoever. It's very much like today. People think that everyone thinks almost they can get credit cards, that they're wealthy. They get in debt, and they finally come, if the dawn finally comes and they realize, oh wow, we can't pay these bills, and so they are victims of these different credit agencies that say, we'll consolidate all of your bills, you know, and lower your interest rates so that your payments won't be so much every month. It'll be easier. And everybody, they have these models on smiling and everything and say, look, Daddy, look, Mama, you know, our payments are lower now, and we can really breathe a little bit more easier. And then they'll see something else in the showroom floor, and they'll go by that and say, after all, you know, our payments are cut in half. The weakness of human beings. But, and while they're in there, the lady is, if you want to call her a lady, is with her husband, and she's eyeballing the car salesman, you know, and maybe slipping him her phone number and saying, don't call between the hours of so-and-so, because, you know, that way it'll make me feel a little bit better, or and so on. And this, you know, I've been in the world. I'm now 71 years old, and I know all the little things that people do, the games that people play. So, you know, now we see a lot of people thinking they can sin and everything, and now we see hurricanes, one right after the other, hitting the the Florida coast and other areas where it's just riddled with sin and false doctrine, like it's all right to starve and dehydrate Terry Schiavo in Florida. And then people wonder, what in the Hades is going on over here, man? We just keep getting hit, and we keep getting hit. And then I saw that on the Keys they were carrying about around highballs, different drinks, you know, liquor drinks, and they were thumbing their nose at God saying, we don't believe that, you know, anything's going to happen here. We've been hit many times. But you see all the disease, and we'll just look. We're just waiting right now. It's around 4 o'clock in the morning, and it is early Monday morning when I'm bringing this message, and we'll just watch the TV. They say there's supposed to be up to 10 and 12-foot waves cover the Keys, and the water can only rise 18 inches before it floods, so you figure it should be a pretty good flood if it goes over 10 to 18 feet, they said. Amen, for their dastardly disbelief. Disbelief in the Word of God is one of the biggest sins that you could ever commit. Because if you don't believe the Word of God that says you'll go to hell for committing adultery and fornication, you know, then you're going to go to hell and the lake of fire. And you're going to be sorry that you didn't believe the Word of God. So, married couples, you say, well, we're not saved and we don't believe the Word of God. Well, I know I used to be in that place too until God came down, thundered down from heaven upon me and showed me signs and wonders and visions and supernatural dreams that I actually woke up during the dream and the visions were still coming to me. And that's the reason that I've been preaching this gospel for all these years. And I just feel so happy that God revealed these things to me, because I thought the same way you did. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been out there raising Hades the way I was doing. And believe me, everyone thought that I was the chief, the chieftain from out of hell back then. And everybody just loved me back then. But when I got saved, they thought I was the worst person on the face of this earth. And the news media and the Vatican, the biggest cult in the world, has painted me for years, and my wife, and my now deceased wife, Susie, that we're 100 times worse than Hitler, because we're out saving souls and doing the things that God says to do. That's what they did to Jesus. They made Jesus so evil that they were going to nail him to the cross. To the cross, he was considered to be worse than murderers, because they let the murderer go and they nailed Jesus to the cross and they were yelling, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" The Jews, and then they said, "Let his blood be upon us and our children." So they themselves called, and I'm Jewish, but God said, He says, "Let his blood be upon us and our children." So that's why the Jewish people have been cursed. Now, there's a lot of other people that are cursed too. But that's why they've been cursed for years. But God said that in the last days, just before he comes back to earth again, that we Jews would be preaching the gospel to you Gentiles out there. Not only to you Gentiles, but to the unsaved Jews as well. Now, God loves everybody, and that's why he punishes. He has to warn people that what you think is hell going on the face of this earth, and it's not Mother Nature that's causing it, and it isn't natural disasters. God is doing it, and he's doing it for a reason. He's doing it because he knows how much horrible it will be. He wants you to take heed to these different plagues that he's casting down on this earth right now, so that you'll repent, so that you don't spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. Because hell in the lake of fire is so much worse than any kind of catastrophe that's happening on this earth now, that you wouldn't believe it. You would pray for water to come upon you in hell, but it's a burning inferno so hot and heavy that the very elements melt down there. And you're there forever. You never get out. There's no place to get out of hell. The only one that was able to get out of there was Jesus. He paid the price for you and I. He went to hell for us. And before that, he told us the right things, the law, which is not over with. All Christ did was paid the penalty that the law demanded on our souls. But by giving his own life, he said, "Now you are free, but go and sin no more." Because if you do, the law is going to punish you forever. Because the law, God's word, his law, is so strict. that there's no way that you can make keep the law unless God himself enters into you, which gives you the inner power, the inner strength to be able to keep the commandments of the Lord. And so, you know, you women that like to talk to all kinds of men, you better start practicing what the Lord says. You better get yourself saved. But I find it so hard not to stay away from men. And I find it so hard when they're staring at me. I just start getting Twitter-pated all over the place. Well, is Twitter-pating more so important to you that you should spend millions and billions and trillions of years in hell? Well, God isn't like that. He says he is, and you think that God is lying to you or trying to use fear tactics on you because he just wants to see you tremble or something? No, you've got to be crazy to think something like that. You've got to be out of your mind to think that God's a liar. He says, let every man be called a liar, but let God be called the truth. God isn't trying to use fear tactics on you. He's just telling you the truth. And if you believe him, then you will fear, because God is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come unto me unless you believe the truth and the way, and if you believe life. If life eternal in heaven is more important to you than being Twitter-pated or having some kind of a sordid sex affair with somebody, and then you find out, they all say it was such a stupid thing to do. Well, if it was so stupid, then you're going to really think it's stupid when you spend eternity in a burning inferno. You know, like these people that are out in the world that go from one woman to another, they say there's no difference. I mean, it's like they think there's going to be some kind of thing. I remember when I was a kid, I was in an Easter egg hunt in Windham, Montana, this little old burg. And they had all kinds of Easter eggs there on the ground. They were boiled eggs and colored. And they had all these little kids lined up. And I could see them on the lawn. You know, there must have been 100 or more of them. Windham's just a little town, and you get 100, 200, 300 eggs out there. That's quite a few. And then you get a prize if you get the right one. There's a number on the egg. And these Gentiles over there really knew how to hype a kid up, you know. Man, we were just out of our minds. So we're all there, and I'm getting ready to go, and they blow this whistle. And that means we're supposed to take off and do it. So I took off, and I started loading my shirt full of these eggs. And finally, I started getting burdened down with them because I was getting so many of them. And I looked around, and all the rest of the kids were just going round and round in circles, and they were wetting their pants. And I says, oh, my God, what the? I couldn't believe it. I'm just staring at them. I stopped. It was more fascinating to me to see this going on. They were spinning around and around in circles. I couldn't understand why they weren't interested in getting the eggs and why they were so hyped up. But you have to realize that in Windham, Montana, the circus never comes to town or the fair. And if you hear the sound of a whistle, it just hypes you right out of your mind, you know. You just had to just do that. You had to spin around. It was just so exciting, you know. It's like they talk about the cars going over the dingers, you know, when they come in so that the people in the service station can tell that there's somebody out there or somebody, you know, nothing happened in town at all except when the man comes to load the cigarette machine or the pop machine or the candy bar machine. Boy, you just sit there and watch him do it and you're like you're really learning something, you know. But there wasn't even that in that town. So, like, when that whistle blew, these kids really went out of their minds. They never even got one egg. Well, my mother told me to share the eggs with the kids because I had all the eggs. And I said, no, Mom, you know, I got them. You know, they're mine. And she started laughing. I said, no. And so I kept them. And so I wanted to eat them all. So I did. And, you know, I thought they'd be different tasting because they were different colored, and every single one of those weasels tasted the same. And I kept cracking them open and tasting them, and they just kept tasting the same. Nothing was different. It was just all the same. And finally, I got so sick of hard-boiled eggs and that yolk in there that I got so sick, I turned green, and I couldn't look at the moon for years because it reminded me of the yolk in that egg. So it's the same thing with, if you're married, you know, that you think that this woman or this man is going to be better than your husband, or that he's got something that nobody else has got, you know. But it's all the same, kiddo, all right? It's all the same. And then you're going to go to hell in the lake of fire for something that you've already got in your house. Like the man said on the television, he says, if the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence, then water your own grass. Take care of your own husband. And then maybe he will want to, you know, say, hi, honey, give you a little squeeze when he comes in the door, or a hug, and then, you know, spend some intimate time with you. Okay? Make sense?
Yes.
Yes, I think so. Okay, well, but if you don't, well, then the husband has the perfect right to put you in a ward if you are not due benevolence. And then also he has the right to put you out of the house. And there is no mercy. Jesus just said, you cannot put your wife away except for the cause of adultery. And adultery can be many things. And I saw in the Old Testament where this woman left, she was a concubine, and she took off and went to her dad's house. And the Bible says that was adultery. You and your husband are one flesh. Amen?
Amen.
You don't belong anywhere else. And, I mean, you're supposed to do, there's duties that the Lord has mapped out for the man. He's got to earn his living by the sweat of his brow. And so many people are not working. Machines do the work now. The sweat of the brow. There's so many people that are getting sick because they don't sweat. So many men. And those that don't sweat, go to a gym or something and sweat. Okay? Because it's an inbuilt nature of that God put in man that he has to sweat. All right? And it's supposed to be, and God put a natural thing in a woman, not to be out in the world competing with men or working while your husband stays at home and cooks the food and changes the diapers. That's not a man's job. I couldn't do that because I'm a real man, okay? I couldn't do a woman's job. And a woman shouldn't want to do a man's job. They just want to show, you know, that they hate men. And men want to show women that they want to hate women. But if people would get in line with God, men wouldn't hate women. And women wouldn't hate men because they say, wow, this is a nice arrangement here, the way that God planned it. Yeah, everything, you know? So, you know, if you want to know, you don't have to listen to marriage counselors. Just open up the Bible and see what your duty as a woman is. You're not supposed to even listen to any other man. The Bible says for you to learn from your own husband. First of all, you're not to be unevenly yoked with unbelievers. So you shouldn't be married to a heathen. But if you get saved while you are, well, then you're supposed to stay with them until they depart. And then if they depart from you and they're not willing to live with you, then you have a right to marry again, but with a Christian man. It has to be a born-again Christian. But be careful. Get these things straight with someone that you want to marry before you marry them. Because if I was going to get married to a woman and she says, well, I want to stay at home and I want to be able to fellowship with men and all, I'd say, well, I'm not marrying you, okay, because you're not, I'm not going to be married unevenly yoked with an unbelieving person. The Lord says that's the way you're supposed to be, and if you want to be some other way, then I'm not going to marry you, all right? And if she says, fine, I just want to do what I want to do, Well, then, just do it. But realize one thing, you're going to hell in the lake of fire. Oh, because I won't marry you. No, I won't marry you, is what I just got through saying, I would tell him. And, you know, you can see plainly what the Lord says that you're supposed to do in the Word, and you better do it, because God is not a kidder. He's not kidding around. That's the way it is, and if you don't like it, and if you just want to do what you want to do, and you don't care, and you're not going to listen to your husband, and he said, or obey those that have the rule over you, the ministers, the pastors, well, then you're going to hell as well, because you're thumbing your nose at the Word of God, and the Bible says that the Word of God is God. All right, so much for that subject. Now let's finish this letter from the United Kingdom, from England.
Dear friend, thoroughly enjoyed the 30 minutes of reading from the scriptures I heard. Intriguing format, both of you together at the mic. Makes for compelling listening, and may I add very interesting quotes about your past life, e.g. working on the farms and in the bakers, for instance. Variety certainly is the spice of life.
Well, that was, you know, women with many men. That's what they say, variety is the spice of life. No, but you learn a lot by having done many things like I have, and some people have done even way more than I have out in the world. But we have to keep our post in the spiritual realm. Okay, then what?
In the sense, it gives you an inner perception of people and life in general, a more rounded person, in fact, a man after mine own heart. I fully understand where you are coming from. It's been a pleasure hearing you both over here in the United Kingdom this afternoon. Both best wishes, Stuart Patterson. P.S. Any station stickers denoting your work would be appreciated. St. Anne's on the Sea, Lancashire, England, the United Kingdom.
Okay, now, where's the next letter from?
From Shama, Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor, by the grace and protection of our Lord of Lords and King of Kings, I write to you to thank you or congratulate you for the great works you are doing. Pastor, please, if you may remember, I once wrote to you and you sent me a book entitled The Messiah According to Bible Prophecy and some literature or newsletters. I thank you for such an effort of getting me those books. Please, Pastor, I lived in a community which is full of pagans. After receiving your newsletters, I showed them to my father, and my father distributed them to some of the pagans. After reading your newsletters and some of your literal works, they found themselves repented and wished to go to church and serve the Lord. They started this some months ago. They came to me for more of the newsletters and some Bibles for church, but because I was not having enough Bibles to offer them, I told them to wait for me to write and inquire from the various ministries and urge them on that they will get the Bibles and the newsletters, especially that of Dry Bones. Please, Pastor, I humbly and kindly request you to send us some Bibles that you can afford to send us, and we shall look for somewhere else to get more to satisfy their needs. Pastor, we hope our request will be granted and met, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Pastor, after reading The Messiah According to Bible Prophecy, I would be wholeheartedly glad if you would send to me more of your literal works, with some of your cassettes, both audio and video. Pastor, with the Bibles, we will be glad if you can offer us the translated versions of English and Fonti or Twi languages. We hope our request will be granted in Jesus' mighty name. May God bless you for the great works you are doing. May you live long to be 100 and bear of the prosperity of my small community. May he also bless your ministry in dealing with his works. Thank you! Exclamation point. Yours in Christ, Bismarck, from Shama, Ghana, Africa.
All right. Praise the Lord. Now, we do have... we're going to be doing some television programs pretty soon. Sue and I were on television for 10 solid years, and I've just transferred all those television tapes to DVDs so that they're preserved forever, and we're going to start reproducing them, and we'll be able to send a lot of them out. I'd like to keep myself... out of the limelight. I've always wanted to do that. Before I was a Christian, I used to promote singers and actors and all kinds of different products while I was just behind the scene with it. I was asked to be in a lot of different motion pictures because of the way I am. And I remember Thelma Blanchard used to come to our church. She's a lady that lives in Los Angeles, and she invited the head of one of the top speakers of the John Birch Society over to our church, because at that time I didn't realize that it was one of the Vatican organizations to try to blame the evils that are happening in the world on the Communist Party and on the Jews. And Susie believed that, and I was very skeptical of it. But this man came to Elmo, where we had a house up on top of Georgia Ridge there, and we had a church down in Dyer, Arkansas. Well, when the man saw me, he says, "Oh, how could you be any kind of a Christian? You look just like Tony Curtis. Oh, yeah, you're Playboy or something type." And I says, "Hey, don't judge me by the way I look. So if this causes people, because of the way I look, other people say, you know, like Cornel Wilde or Steve Reeves, I get accused of that before. Don't judge a person by the way they look outwardly, because I don't feel that way inside, and I'm, you know, you're making a very bad misjudgment. So that if I send you some of these old videotapes, don't judge me by the way I look, because I'm not a Frankie Avalon or a Tony Curtis or a Cornel Wilde or a Steve Reeves. I'm according to the Word of God, much more than that, okay? Judge me by the things that I preach and the way I conduct myself in this world, all right? That isn't the way I am. I was asked by Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. and Jack Warner to do a picture, motion picture, and Ephraim Zimbalist, you see him on the one of these big church networks reading the Bible all the time. It's just for about a minute or two. And they asked me to do the lead role, to play young Dillinger. Well, I refused to do it. I didn't want to be in movies, and I've been asked to do a lot of stuff with pictures with Marlon Brando, and I turned every single one of them down. And with Marilyn Monroe and Glenn Ford, they wanted me to be in Blackboard Jungle, because back then I was just a young boy, and I looked like one of these juvenile delinquents. You know, that would have fitted in perfectly. But I didn't want to be in movies, and I preferred to promote the movies records. I did the promotion for Sonny and Cher and Best of the Beatles, Pete Best, and I helped with the Elvis Presley campaigns and the Beatles, and the Beatles wanted me to manage them, and the Rolling Stones the same way. They begged me to do it, but I had just gotten saved and I refused to do it. For doing the Peter Best campaign, I now own a Beatles album, and I refuse to sell it because I want people to know that I'm not in the ministry for money. And so don't judge me by the way I look or the things that could have happened to me if I had wanted them to. I want to serve the Lord, and I've been doing it for 41 years. All right, so let's just get on now with the piece of literature that God gave me. This is part three of Another Pearl Harbor. The reason I call it Another Pearl Harbor, because Pearl Harbor was a setup. It was they wanted a war, the Vatican, because the Bible says that the Vatican is the mother of every abomination. If you have ever seen the motion picture The Godfather, you'll see that the Vatican is involved with the Mafia, and the Vatican is the one that's, they're strictly after money. It mentions many times the Vatican Bank, and that they actually financed World War II, they financed the Civil War, World War I, and they're the ones causing all the trouble in the world according to God. And if you doubt that, well, then strong delusions will be sent to you because you don't love the Word of God. You don't love the fact that there's truth in this world. You don't love truth. You hate truth, and you're believing a lie. God said in His Word that the whole world would be deceived in the last days, and here you are. All right, so I see that we're on a downhill. We just used up 45 minutes here, so we better start reading another Pearl Harbor, Part 3.
Some of the people in government and in the media have lied about my church for years. That's how I know the things these people were telling us were the truth. They reported to us that there is no way in the world that anyone could hypnotize or brainwash 1,000 people at one time into committing suicide.
Right here, the continuation of where I'm talking about Jim Jones, a lot of their followers. A few of them escaped in the woods while the government agents were killing the people. And then the media said they drank Kool-Aid to try to make anyone that is not part of the Vatican look like a cult. But in reality, the Vatican for years has been known for killing Christians. You know, how is it that people are so deceived? You can see it in movies. You hear it all your life, and that they're mingled with the mafia and all these different things. So I don't understand. And they lie about every Christian church, just as they did Susie's and mine. And also Koresh. I mean, Koresh might have been selling weapons. We don't have any weapons in our church. We never have. We don't want weapons. We don't use them. We believe the only weapon we are allowed to use is the Word of God. And that's what the Bible says is the true weapon to fight these things in the world. He says our weapons, the Bible says our weapons are not carnal, but they are spiritual, to the tearing down of strongholds of Satan. All right, not only preaching it, but obeying what the Lord says. All right, continue on.
Ted Chirac told me on our telephone call the other day.
Yeah, Theodore Chirac was the one that came to me with Mariotti of Los Angeles and Walter Winchell, who was a pseudo, well, he was a newscaster and a very famous one at one time. And go ahead, so Ted Chirac, his name is Theodore Chirac. He's also been in movies and things. Go ahead.
Told me that he knew these things were fact and stated that he got a tip from Hal Jacques, an independent news editor in Connecticut, and followed up on it. Ted Chirac gave Mike Kerb the tape he recorded of witnesses saying they were in danger, they were being threatened. Larry Stammer, a religious writer, wanted to do a story on it. Any pastor of any church will tell you that it's very hard to get even a few people in the church to diligently sweep the sidewalk or mow the lawn, let alone get them to agree to kill themselves, when they know very well their souls would spend eternity in hell if they did. No pastor of the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, would ever tell their congregation to commit suicide. Religions and countries that have a history of doing such things include the Japanese with their suicide planes in World War II and their Hare Kerry, Roman Catholicism, which is based in Rome, all idolaters, all those involved in witchcraft, and all those religions or countries which are part of Rome's one-world cult, such as Islam. Some governments tell their people to take a cyanide pill if they get captured by their enemies, such as the Japanese and German governments did in World War II, and as Muslim terrorists do today. Some Americans have been told to do this by their commanders or heads of state. Did the Branch Davidians at Waco really do anything so horrible that they deserve to die under the orders of Janet Reno and President Clinton?
Former President Clinton, then what?
The answer is no. We have tapes proving that those people were murdered by poisonous gas and by fire from government tanks.
Right. Also, we have the another piece of literature that I've written that is also a government official, a FBI undercover man who was asked to go to kill Koresh. They didn't go there to arrest him. They went there. They called it a turkey shoot. They just went there, and they were having such fun. And they were funning on them by playing the Nancy Sinatra, who is a good friend of mine. Nancy Sinatra's record, these boots were made for walking, and they had all kinds of rabbits being murdered. A bunch of heinous maniacs that call themselves American soldiers that are really troops of the Vatican. Okay, then what? And this man's name is John Peeler, who was a federal agent. The name of that piece of literature that I put his whole story in there where he was telling about it, and no one has refuted that yet, that they went there to kill David Koresh and his little children and all the men and women in that church. But, I mean, if he was selling weapons, I believe that's wrong. But still, if he was doing that, why do you kill the babies? And they made up a story that he was abusing the babies. Well, weren't they abusing them more by killing them? The government? Wasn't that, you know... those children didn't look like they were being abused at all. And I know people that have called me that were the drummers and musicians that played with David Koresh. They said they stayed there for a long time, and the guy was really a nice guy, and that the kids were treated very nice. And so don't believe what the news media tells you, because all they're doing is deceiving you and making you afraid of Christianity instead of Catholicism. Be afraid of Catholicism. Don't get involved with it. I mean, don't be afraid of them like you should be afraid of God. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of man. Okay, let's continue on.
Government troops used one of the Branch Davidians for target practice while he was climbing over a fence to be with his wife and children, who also were being shot at by the, quote, American soldiers, unquote, under orders from Janet Reno and Bill Clinton. Would you not climb a fence or go through hell or high water to get to your wife and children if you saw anyone killing them? Who else but a Vatican communist soldier would do this?
And the hearts of the people in America are so hardened that they've actually, most of them have just, oh well, or they just forgot about that. This type of attitude, you're going to be judged for at the judgment fire of God also. This, oh well. And of course, the government is always right. According to God, this is this entire regime. The world system is the Antichrist system. Its headquarters are in Rome. They control the government, world government, and the media, and the one world church, which they call church, which is actually cult. They even allow Satan worshippers and devil worshippers in there. Okay, keep going.
I am patriotic to the red, white, and blue, but not to Vatican communists who are dressed in red, white, and blue.
Right. I'm more patriotic to God, because God, if everybody in the world would listen to what God said, we'd be in a better world. I'm not just patriotic to this country, but I want to see justice and judgment and equity in every country. God is interested in not just us. And He's cursing this country now because of its Antichrist ideas and the Antichrist things that we're allowing to be done in this country. This country is supposed to be of the people, by the people, and for the people, not for a bunch of communist Vaticanites, Catholic commies. These people are demonic. The Bible says that they're operated by the spirit of the great red dragon, Satan himself. This is a satanic world that we're living in, and you must separate yourself, consecrate yourself from it. Now continue on, please.
Are they mentally American soldiers? No! Exclamation mark. They've been brainwashed, or rather, brain damaged, deceived by...
Brain dirtied. Okay, then what?
Deceived by the devil and the devil's rulers of the darkness of this world. These practice, quote, spiritual wickedness in high places, unquote.
Why do you think these people have put me in prison on false charges for the gospel's sake? Why do you think that they've persecuted a church? Why do you think they won't allow me to have a credit card? Not that I want one, but they won't allow me to have one. Why do you... I put out a recording, and it went up to number 50 on the national charts, and the Cashbox magazine said they got 500,000 calls from Catholics that said if they don't take my record off the charts, that they're going to blow Cashbox magazine and the owner of it to smithereens. And the same thing, the Osmond brothers were going to sing at the restaurant that the church had over in Elma, Arkansas, because they wanted to exchange their talent and their couple of shows for some clothes that I made for them. And they called up and they says, Tony, can you please let us out of that contract? And I says, why? They says, we got at least 500,000 calls from demonic people that are Catholics that are saying, you know, that if we don't stop, if we come over to your place and sing, that they're going to kill us. I said, they won't kill you. I said, they've recruited a bunch of people that are just nudniks, you know, to call you and say these things to you. Are you going? They were actually going to sing over in another town in Arkansas. I think it was Hot Springs. That's why they said, we'll do a date over at your Alamo restaurant or Alamo restaurant. And I says, well, great. And then I says, get out. If you're that scared, I says, I'll let you out of the contract. Go ahead. I says, I'll appear there myself. And I did, and we had a pretty good-sized crowd there anyway. Place was packed out. All right, so this is just to show how vicious Roman Catholic people are. I've never called Roman Catholics or tried to, say, I will blow you up. That's why I believe that all these people that are blowing people up are from the Vatican, because they're the ones that stated that there's going to be terrorism coming. Well, we know that they're possessed with the devil and that they're not of the Lord. And only they could predict that there's going to be a terrorism, because they knew very good and well that they are the ones that are going to be causing the terrorism, and all the people that are with him. And this is the administration. Bush is controlled by the Vatican. All the kings of the earth, the Bible says, are, and the presidents and the queens, they are controlled by the Vatican. And they do what the Vatican says. 9-1-1 was nothing but another Pearl Harbor. We've only got a couple of more minutes, so let's go ahead and read some more.
That was Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. They include Rome and all those who are Rome's captains and lieutenants, the kings of the earth, to whom God will soon show himself to be terrible and a terrorist. Would Americans kill Christian Americans? They did, exclamation mark.
And they still do. Okay, and then what else?
But I don't consider them Americans. Would a true red, white, and blue American president and attorney general order the deaths of innocent members of Christ's body primarily because they were not Roman Catholics? They did it, exclamation mark. There are hundreds of thousands of books and testimonies as to how Rome has, for centuries, murdered millions of people simply because these people read the Bible and found the Roman murderous cult to be filled with lies, a sewer of corruption.
Yeah, and that's why they've taken the Bibles out of school. That's why they say it's illegal to pray. That's why they've taken the name of God and made it an evil word that you're not supposed to say it. They want you to take Christ out of Christmas. They want you to just say seasons, greetings, or happy season, or something like that. Well, anyway, I see that our time is up, and make sure that you tune in tomorrow for part 4 of Another Pearl Harbor, and the Lord just loads me up with all sorts of commentaries on the way, and so you never know, according to these Vaticanites, what's going to come out of my mouth. So be curious, tune in, and see what the Lord gives me in Jesus' name. All right, so until tomorrow, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying, praise the Lord and God bless you. Amen.